go to Kuna Papei, which is Mi Te Mayim. I've always found this kina to be Kina Chaf Gimel. Ve'es Navi Chatasi Hishmima. I've always found this kina to be one of the most difficult, heart-wrenching, but at least personally meaningful of all the kinos. In this kina, as people will recall, it's always easier to recall a story, I suppose. Speaks about the story that is brought down in other places as well, about the children of Rabbi Yishmael, the Ben Ubas, son and daughter. Beautiful, beautiful children. And they were taken captive, and they were thrown into a room. If you read through the Kina, it's described how the assumption is that you take a younger-looking boy, a younger-looking girl in a room. That was sort of the Roman assumption. So, of course, you can just sort of fill in the blank of what was going to happen. And each child of Rabbi Shmuel had a sense of their upbringing and their background. Child of the Kohen Gadol. So I'm going to with a slave girl, and I'm going to be forced to be with a slave boy. And they woke up in the morning, and the Kina describes, in the light of dawn, look at the language inside, Ur Boker, the second to last paragraph, Ze et Ze Kihikiro. I'm not sure this is a side question, or someone has an answer later. What's the language? Ur Boker, Ze et Ze Kihikiro. It's as though they recognize each other. Everyone here, they should be hikiro. But anybody have an answer, so please let me know later. Hoi achi v'hoi achos higbiru. They yelled out, higbiru, meaning their cries got even greater. And they yelled out, my brother, my sister. V'nizdapku yachad v'nizchabaru. They cling together. Hadyotzta nishmasam v'nishima. Their souls left them like with that breath. Vahima miyamim yamima. Now I mourn about this in every year. And why do you say that's so meaningful? It's so meaningful because our avoda, our challenge, but our mission is to somehow personalize the magnitude of loss that our nations have encountered. Personalized loss of a korban, of our ancestors walking through the streets of Yerushalayim in a state of shock, in a state of famine. Personalized what must have been like for someone our age with children living in the centers of Jewish learning in France and Germany with our children and forced to convert. Most of us are not Sfardim, famous or Sfardim, but imagine what it must have been like between the years 1391 and 1492 in Spain. The hundreds of thousands of Jews living there. And sometimes I think about the number 6 million Jews, and it's so overwhelming. I know a lot of people in the world, so I have a lot of contacts on my phone. Shragi's here. Shragi probably outdoes everyone with contacts. But what's a lot of contacts on your phone? I think 2,000 people? I mean, that's a big number. And you forgot half the names of all those people already. But 6 million people. So I thought to myself one night, My Ori took us to a, or me, to a Yankees game. It was back in the old stadium, 50,000 people. And I thought to myself, 60 million people, or 6 million people would be taking 120 absolutely packed Yankee stadiums and just dispersing them through the Bronx. And there wouldn't be enough room in the Bronx. You'd go to the Queens, and you'd go... Imagine sort of the aerial sight of 120 50,000-person-filled Yankee stadiums. And I was sitting in the Yankee Stadium in the bleachers, and I started just tearing at just that number. But somehow, something has to be personalized. And when we think about a child, a brother, a sister, somehow it focuses, it concentrates our thoughts. But I want to tell you a very personal, like a story or thought that I had. I mentioned earlier when we had a Jewish history series early in the year, most of you were not there. When I went as a kid, a little bit younger than Donnie, to Poland, so that magnitude, piles of ashes and piles of shoes, and it was almost like too much for maybe my childlike brain at the time. It was very hard to feel connected. But then one day we traveled to Auschwitz, and as we did last night, we were singing Anna Hashem on the bus to Auschwitz. And we got off by the main gate, everyone knows the main gate, by Buchenwald, where the trains would go in. And I started walking down the train track in Buchenwald. I thought to myself, even as a kid, how many 17-year-olds walked down these tracks for the last time? How many people, maybe with the name Yehoshua, 17 years old, were let go of these tracks? These were the last days of their life. I thought to myself, even as a kid, of how many footprints in the sand just came to an end. And how many songs would never be written? How many people would never have a chance to hug their children, to write a book, to save a life, to finish songs that were only started but never completed? And as walking down those tracks in Buchenwald in 1989, I felt as overwhelmed by those feelings of how many souls never had their own personal chapters and books completed. And that's Navi Chatasi. That's the children of Rabbi Shmuel. So I give all of us a bracha, myself a bracha, that our lives mean something a lot, not just for our own lives, but that in a very real sense, we are the carrying a torch. We're moving forward a legacy. We're living lives for those who didn't have a chance to live it themselves. I don't want to belabor the point, but our lives have to mean something. Our history is so rich, so tragic, but so alive and so meaningful that just to live lives and just to live lives where the rabbi is going to have to ask, where our kids are going to have to ask, when they're maspid us, when they eulogize us, what was it worth? What did he do? Then you have to start thinking about some funny story or some story. Yeah, I remember this is what my father did and my mother did. And Look, our lives need to be meaningful. It needs to be inspired, it needs to be driven. If Tisha B'Av, if our history means anything, so our lives take on a certain shape from that. Toujours